Francis Chase, Anthony Joseph, Prime Stay, Holiday Homes. Most awarded agent in Dubai, his name is Anthony. Portfolios, he's scaling really high, that's why they can't compete. The first time that he came out to Dubai, he didn't have a thing. Now he's out here changing all these lives, and it's a masterpiece.
We are back with my favorite guest, Dr. Anand, the living legend. It's been a while, we miss you. We have so many questions for you. Myself and the audience have been all asking about you. So thank you again for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, Anthony. Personally, it's one of my favorite podcasts.
Thank you, doctor. So lots of stuff happening locally and the region and abroad. So I would like us to start discussing about this article that we have seen last week about the NEOM project, where they have reduced the size of the project. That was almost 175 kilometers, went all the way down to 2 point something. Can you tell us more about what happened? What caused this to do this mega reduce, as we say?
Okay, I'll answer this from two sides. One, what really happened, and how, as Dubai, we can now position ourselves as being an amazing opportunity. Before I even answer this, the first word of caution I'd like to give everybody is we have to remember Saudi Arabia are our brothers, okay? We all genuinely want them to do well. And if this entire region starts to do amazingly well on real estate, we become a strong force compared to any other continent or any other opportunity. So it's really in our interest that they do well. So we should not knock anybody on what has happened. Secondly, we don't speak on perception. We have to be clear about the facts. Now, Bloomberg is the one that first broke this news a few days ago, where they got the information, and now it is actually out there officially that this project is being shelved. 98.6% of the line project is being shelved. It cannot be completed till 2030. We have no indicator when they might actually talk about the rest of it. So the project, which was 105 miles or 174 kilometers, is now reduced to 2.5 kilometers.
Sorry, let me stop you here. So you're saying 2.5 kilometers, that will be ready by 2030.
By 2030.
The Expo of Saudi, and then later on, they might even extend it. So this is not like the final...
It's not the final thing.
Okay.
It has been shelved till 2030, and beyond that, we'll have to see what happens.
Okay.
What we know for sure is that 2.74 will be ready by 2030. They're dropping the population expectation from 1.5 million to just under 300,000 who will be living in that area. So that is now what we have as the projection for 2030. So what really happened here? Firstly, when you create these giga projects, it's called a giga project, one of these massive projects, $500 billion, you need to have infrastructure and a brand pull for your country or your city to get investors to come in. Saudi Arabia has been opening up a lot in line with Vision 2030. However, not opening fast enough for the world to believe in it. So the number of investors that have actually been coming into this project, you're not going to get Northern American, you're not going to get the Europeans, the Indians, the Asians, because the brand pull of Saudi in terms of a lifestyle and opportunity has not yet been sold to the world. It's going to take a good 10, 15 years before they believe in that. With Dubai, the brand pull is there. We built it over the last 25 years. So today we can actually justify people wanting to come and live here. And we are seeing that happening right now. So as a result, the funding model that was used for NEOM was a joint model. It was PIF, which is the Public Investment Fund. It's part of the government in Saudi. They were going to be a major player in the funding. And then there was going to be investments coming from actual investors around the world. The challenge is the Saudi economy has been going through a tough time. Even for 2024, the projected GDP is only 1.5%. In comparison to them, UAE is projected at 5%. We are 330% ahead of them in just this 1 year alone. So when you have a low GDP, it becomes difficult for the kingdom to create its reserves. So the PIF is now down to a $15 billion reserve. The cost of the project is $500 billion. There is no way they have the funds to do this. With the economy not going to be growing strongly this year, that money is not going to come. Secondly, the whole complexity, there is, they do not have the infrastructure in place or the resources to be able to create such a big project. I believe one lesson they could have had was if they looked at their neighbors like Dubai. It took us 25 years to build what we have. The line was promoted as 33 times the size of New York. We are 25% of the size of New York, and it took us 25 years to get here, one-fourth the size of New York. In 13 years, they were planning to build a city which is 33 times the size of New York. It just wasn't going to happen. So I think it eventually has come down to this point where they've had to, they could not hold it back anymore. So how does this help us here? Remember, I'm repeating it again, we don't beat Saudi down. But what we can do is we can show that something like this has now proven that the model that Dubai is working on is a successful model. And how do we look at that? The funding model itself. With Dubai, the funding model is investor-based as well as developer-based. So the developers would put in their 20%, but they would create a product where investors would fund the rest of it through the sale and the installments. But to attract those investors, you need infrastructure. You need brand Dubai. You need the lifestyle, business, the finance. You need all these infrastructures to make people want to come here. We have a 70% increase in population happening over the next 10 years here. We're getting 2.5 million people coming in. Why are these people coming? They're coming because they believe in the quality of lifestyle they can get, the opportunities for themselves and the family, and that is bringing the people in. So the brand pull of Dubai was not yet there for Saudi. So now we have a funding model that worked for us. The buildings are selling because the brand pull of Dubai is there. We have a track record and a legacy of actually delivering, and that's the reason why the confidence is there. Every new launch is still selling out. We now know that this year we've had an average of one launch every 18 hours. That's the average. That is very, and they're selling out. So it's very clear that the demand is there. The demand is not just because of an iconic tower or a community. For me, it is important that the whole city will support the lifestyle that I'm looking for, which is the reason why the millionaires and the billionaires of the world are choosing Dubai. They can literally walk into any country because they can buy their residency by investing in property. When they have that opportunity, they're choosing Dubai and bringing their families here. So now with what has happened, I think Dubai has now moved into a stronger place where we can show why it makes sense here. The total value of real estate in the Middle East is 1.68 trillion. Of that, Saudi was 63.1% and Dubai was 23.4%. After the NEOM announcement that came out, or the line announcement, that has significantly changed. The total value has dropped to $1.1 trillion. And of that, the Saudi market share has dropped by nearly 47%, but the Dubai market share has jumped by 44%.
Well, Doctor, I want to ask you just like a technical question. When it comes to this kind of stuff, shouldn't government be reaching out to different countries where they will allow them to do some kind of JV or collaboration or investment based on, I don't know, oil or something like...
Yeah, they're actually doing something, not in terms of JV in other industries. They're probably doing it. We are not aware of it. But what we now know is that the team from NEOM is on a plane. They were in China and they're looking for China to bail out and to support the 500 billion. So they've been to Beijing, they've been to Shanghai, they've been to Hong Kong, they've been to Seoul.
It's happening.
Yeah, for the NEOM team is going. They've been to the UK, they've gone to the US. So they're going around the world to try and get some kind of interest and funding in there. They will have to do it because they cannot create it from their own economy at this point in time. But the details of those, what happened, how it was presented, we are not clear about.
But that's funding they're looking for as of the extension of the 2.5 kilometer, not the existing one.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, because the 2.5 they can handle.
Okay, that's great. Wishing them the best of luck, and hopefully it goes to life. And we've seen lots of projects like the turtle, floating turtle, and so many other stuff. So wishing them the best of luck. Now let's come locally. Let's come to Dubai. The talk of everyone. Everyone became an expert now in the cloud seeding, accusing that catastrophe that went. That happened in Dubai, that it was done by the government, by the cloud seeding. And we've seen everything that happened. I was so surprised that lots of people, like, they were happy that this happened. It's like they're all waiting for the giant to fall. But this giant didn't fell. It just bended for 3 days and it came stronger than before. Tell us about everything that happened from that Tuesday up until date.
Okay. People called it the terrible Tuesday or the tragic Tuesday.
I was on the plane, by the way, trying to land. Yeah.
In fact, Sheikh Mohammed has put out an announcement which was extremely positive. He said, Dubai has learned so much from this. All our reservoirs did fill up, all of that, but we've got the opportunities to see how we manage crises and how we can scale up to ensure something that doesn't happen again. Amazing vision and attitude, where the whole thing was taken very positively. So let's just go back to what happened and the reaction of the world to it. Yes, you're right. There were a few people who have been really, really happy. But I think what happens when you are a city that's high profile and you're successful, you're going to have these haters. You're going to have people who will come up there with zero understanding of the dynamics. It's so easy. Today, I can get onto the internet and mouth off anything I want about any city on the planet. It doesn't make it real. But people will do that if you had to talk to any one of them and tell them, what is your credible source of reference on this information? There is nothing. There is nothing. But they have got their own voice of contribution. What always amazes me is where are they when to contribute when something incredible is happening? They're nowhere. And when something like this happens, they show up. So let's just ignore those guys. But let's understand what happened and how the government reacted to this. Was it cloud seeding? The answer was no. Right? Though, if that was cloud seeding, that is a very successful cloud seeding. Yeah, but it wasn't. It was very clear about that. Now, the numbers have been out there. Everybody had been looking. The most favorite reference was the UK. And they talked about 5 months of rain in the UK, in London, is what fell in one day here. And that is true. If you look at the number, we had
86 millimeters
of rain. And that kind of, if you look at Europe gets over 1,000 millimeters a year. China gets 606 millimeters. India gets over 800 millimeters. So when you look at these places, the cities in these kind of countries had the amount of rain that they were getting. We got in 5 months, 6 months, in case of China, in 7 months. We got that in a single day. But if you look at the size of those cities, some of those cities are 4 times and 5 times the size of Dubai. That's the first thing. So we know we got an exceptional amount. Now, what people need to understand is this has happened once in 75 years. Now, what does that mean? Once in 75 years, that's two generations or two lifetimes, right? It means this is not normal. This is not a part of our landscape. If it's happened once in 75 years, probably might not happen ever again or happen in another 50 years. This is not normal. So when something that is not normal has happened, your city is not prepared for it. And I want to draw the parallel with some of the best countries in the world. Even if you look at the US, you look at India, you look at several other countries, they have regular tornado seasons, storm season every single year.
Correct.
So they can predict every year it is happening. And even with that prediction, with all their preparation, their cities are flooded every year. So when you look at cities, they know it's coming and they've had a chance after one flood to take care of it and they're still flooded every year. And 5 months of that rain comes here in one day and you're trying to suggest that Dubai should have been able to handle that? It does not make sense, okay? Countries who've got the infrastructure in place to handle this every year are flooded. So I don't think that they made the right comparison in that case.
Absolutely.
However, what we now need to look at is the post-recovery. The average time taken for a city to recover from a storm is 3.5 months. Let me give an example of a similar situation that happened, and then I'll tell you about what Dubai did. So I actually started looking. I went to Statista.com, and I started looking at the floods that have been happening from 2005 to 2022. Okay, in 17 years, we've had about 3,000 floods in the world. That's an average of 176 floods every year, 14 floods every single month, 3.5 every single week. So at least 3 to 4 cities every week for the last 17 years are getting flooded. So when this is happening all around the world, why does Dubai have to be singled out? Does not make sense. And remember, those are cities in areas that flood every year. We don't see anything for 75 years. Now, the average time to bounce back and recovery is 3.5 years. Hurricane Katrina, when it hit in New Orleans, 2005, when it hit, the same amount of rain fell, 254 millimeters. But it took 3 weeks for the city to dry out. It took another 3 months for 25% of the city to come back into the city, and it took an additional 2 months for 50% of the people to come back. It took 11 years to rebuild New Orleans. 3 days after the flood in Dubai, our streets were open for people. And what's even more incredible is, while that rain happened, which no one could have handled, from the very next day, while the emergency teams were out on the streets clearing things, there is a committee that is sitting down and searching for solutions around the world. 3 days after that, Sheikh Hamdan comes out and announces an $80 billion stormwater drainage system. In 3 days, which city in the planet you know has responded so fast? Central Bank issues a directive to all the banks. Don't take loan installments for 6 months. People have to replace furniture. They have got electronics that have been destroyed. Repairs have to be done. Sheikh Mohammed yesterday has approved a $2 billion package for repairing Emirati homes. Okay, companies were asked to give salaries early this month. Free hotel accommodation, food, all of these things. And all of this in a span of 8 days. 8 days is what the city has done. We bounce back stronger when anything happens.
Absolutely. Even we've seen the people living in here. People were going down the street. There was one guy who took the responsibility of, being on the road and telling which one to come, which one to stop. There's another people who are just like trying to help pets or any removing ruins. So we've seen everyone coming together in this catastrophe. Whoever didn't come was the same people who tell us the market is down in Dubai.
Absolutely.
Everything is down and just the same stuff.
You see, it is the spirit of Dubai. You cannot break the spirit of this incredible city. You will not find people bad-mouthing the government and the rulers, but applauding and supporting them. We don't care what somebody tells us around the world, but when something happens in their cities, how are the governments responding? We already saw this positive, proactive nature post-COVID. The two countries that were leading recovery was Israel and the UAE, and we came out on top. Dubai was the fastest that opened in the world, 3.5 months after lockdown. We sanitized entire cities. Which government, which first world country sanitized entire cities and opened in 3.5 months? They struggled for 2.5 to 3 years in many cases. They had the medications, they had the money, they had the government, they had the power, but they kept lying to their people and they just kept their countries open. In 3.5 months, we opened. But what was amazing is we did not differentiate. The government in Dubai did not differentiate between the Emirati citizen and the municipality worker. We took care of every single person. And that is the reason why the people in the world want to come to this city. I actually did a podcast 2 years ago in which I used earthquake as an example because of Iran next door. I never expected a flood. Nobody expected it. So I said in that podcast, if I had to choose a city to live in with my family, it would always be Dubai, because I know when something goes wrong here, the government will take care of me and my family. And at that time I said, forget a global disaster like this. It could be local, might be an earthquake, but even if an earthquake happens, I know my government will respond for me and my family. That's why I'm here. It wasn't an earthquake, it turned out to be a flood, but my government responded.
Correct. Doctor, I've been getting lots of questions. I'm answering it already, but I just want to know your opinion. Some people texted me and said, Anthony, we have changed our mind investing in Dubai because of what happened. And I told them, you've never had the intent to invest in Dubai. You just were waiting for a proper reason for you to back out. And I'm sure you've been receiving this question.
Plenty.
And how this is affecting the real estate market. And so let us reply not by our own opinion, but just about the figures which is happening of the sales.
All right. Let's just look at the last 9 days.
Yeah.
In the last 9 days, we've had 21 billion of transactions which was registered. The value was 21 billion, 5,750 transactions, of which 82.4% were investors. So these are investors. They've understood the opportunity. They look beyond the flood. They look beyond a single occurrence. And that's what they're investing in. I had today in one of the agencies I was in the morning, they said, my client said, I don't want to invest in a townhouse. I said, that's because of the rain. I said, that's exactly why you should invest here, because we have demonstrated that when a rain comes like that, we will bounce back so quickly But you will have to leave your cities for 2 months and 3 months and then only come back to your property that you have bought in those places. And it is not stopping. We had launches selling out right now. So we're not only talking about transactions or previous sales. People are still investing and buying out transactions here. So we are interested in a city in those kind of investors. The one who thinks now is not the time, we don't want you in our city. Stay where you are.
Doctor, we have been on the rise from November 2020. Right? This was our reversal. We are now in
April 2024.
Until when it's going to keep going up? When it's going to keep having this launches selling out in 2 hours, or even there's buildings being sold on a letter of intent without even being in the market? Until, like, the investors are asking, until when this is going to happen? And come on, I know that end of the day, we cannot predict the future. We just follow the figures, the numbers, and we can give our analysis on it. So what's your point on this?
Okay, I'll answer this in 2-3 ways. The first thing is, until when will this continue? Until the demand remains. It's as simple as that, right? As long as the demand is there, it will sell out and prices will go up. There will be some sort of a reduction in the percentage of increases, but the volume of transactions and the value of each unit is going up as well. Right? So we are still in that upward swing. And the reason for that is we have 2.5 million people coming in the next 10 years because of the Dubai economic agenda. We are doubling our economy. So as a result of that, we are short of about 40,000 homes every year for the next 10 years. All these handovers that you're seeing now are going to be absorbed because the golden visas are available. So even in the secondary markets, sales have gone up dramatically. So we are not in previous cycles where once handovers happen, there is a slump and there is units available in the market. Now we have units being absorbed. They're being picked up because people are now able to get the visas as an attraction and they don't want to do it with an off plan. Some of these guys want it in a ready unit. Plus we have first-time home buyers who have showed up now. So more and more people are picking up homes and therefore we are seeing the absorption. However, this 110,000 homes that we believe are going to be handed over in the next 4 to 5 years gives us an average of around 22,000 to 23,000 every single year. Dubai needs between 50 to 70,000 homes every year for the next 10 years. We're short between 30 to 40,000 every single year. And all these handovers that have happened are going to be absorbed by 2028. All the launches that are happening now is to support the economic agenda from 28 onwards. We will need launches 29, 30, 31, and 32. So all these launches are for that. So as your city is expanding, your infrastructure is going up. I have said this before. In the Dubai economic agenda, we are doubling the GDP from 14.6 trillion to 26.2 trillion. We are doubling foreign direct investment to 650 billion. We are adding 400 more cities to our trade map, 40 cities every year. There are 4 cities a week, new cities being added into our trade map. We are opening 3 new logistics corridors. There's just so much that's happening. 250,000 people are coming to our city every year. How is it possible when your economy is doubling and growing like that? How is it possible that you don't have infrastructure? Real estate, another word is infrastructure. We need new offices. Businesses are coming here. We need malls. We need hotels. We need retail options. We need food and beverage. We need beaches, clubs, parks. We need residential communities. We need towers. How is it possible for your city to double its economy without a growth of its infrastructure? How is it possible to have 70% of your population increase and don't have the real estate for that? People, when they don't understand this, that's when they will say it's going to fall, it's going to fall, it's going to crash. In a traditional market cycle, anywhere on the planet, there is an upward tick for 3 to 4 years. And then when the handovers are starting, developers back off a bit, there is handover starting, correction will start, and then there's a drop that happens. We have broken that cycle. For the first time in the history of mankind, you have a city, Dubai, that has created a new cycle. Because if you look at what's happening, if you go by traditional cycles, looking at anywhere in the world, handovers are going on. The prices should be coming down by history, if you look at it. Developers should not be launching. But are the prices coming down? No. Are the units selling? Yes. Are launches happening? Yes. Are those selling out? Yes. So the cycle has changed because the demand is different. Secondly, if you look at 2024, the city of 2024 is not the same as the city of 2014. We never had golden visas in 2014.
It's not the same 3 months ago.
Yeah. We did not have the economic agendas. We did not have 70% of the population increasing. We never had a Dubai South. We never had the expo cities. We just didn't have it. So it does not make sense for anybody to do two things. One, to compare the Dubai of 2024 to the Dubai of 2014. It's just not the same. That's the first problem. The second problem is you do not compare Dubai to cities that are 50 years, 100 years, 400 years old. They don't have space. They're falling off the edges themselves. Today, we are growing aggressively into the future. We are the only city that has officially published our 10-year agenda for the world to see. Tell me one government that has said, this is our agenda for the next 10 years. We have committed and put it out there. Now we will be held accountable for that. So for as because of that, we are having this increase. Another point I'd like to make here is we're number 3 in the GPCI, the Global Power City Index. This survey was done by The Economist in August of last year. We are ahead of all the major metros on the planet. We beat them on every count. We beat them on the economy, how we are growing right now. We beat them on infrastructure, lifestyle, business opportunity, financial freedom. We beat them on health and safety, law and order. We beat many of them on religious tolerance, governance and influence on the city. We beat them on every count. We are giving a city that is better than those cities. Yet, a person will go to New York, they'll go to London, they'll go to Mumbai, where the crime rates are the height of a skyscraper. So they are willing to go to those cities where the infrastructure is falling apart, and they are willing to put 5 times the amount and pick up a little pigeonhole. We are giving you a city that beats all of them on all these factors. And when you look at the pricing of the top 15 cities, we are number 13 from bottom. That is a good deal. I'm giving you a city better than any city on the planet, and the price is way lesser than what you would put there. Why would the demand not be there? Why would people not come? That's the reason why it will continue for a good amount of years to come.
By the way, congratulations for Mumbai. It just beat Beijing and the numbers of
number
billionaires.
It's the
number one city having 92 billionaires. Doctor, with the genocide happening next door against the Palestinian people, many investors are eyeing the situation, pausing all of their investments, not knowing if this will expand or not, especially that couple of weeks ago we've seen the firecrackers that were sent from Iran to God knows where. So can you tell us more about this topic, and can you explain to investors like what will be the effect directly or indirectly to the genocide happening?
Okay. Let's look at another war which people believed was going to expand and include a lot of places, and that started just 2 years ago and is still going on. And at that point, I'm talking of when Russia went into Ukraine, and at that time also people believed that world players would come in and this thing would not be contained, it was going to spread. And there were some genuine concerns in people, and even at that time, investors used that to hold back and say, maybe we need to wait right now. That didn't stop. We had 2 record years after that. We know, yes, the Russians came in and the Ukrainians and those countries around them. That was an 18% influence only on the market. The remaining 82% came from around the world. So what we saw in terms of investors coming into the Dubai market, it did not impact the city from having a huge performance in real estate. Now, this is closer to home. Gaza is closer to home and what has been happening. So again, people are voicing the same concerns. Now, a word of caution before I give the answer. I've been asked this by a lot of investors, but more by a lot of brokerages. I always tell the brokers, try and avoid getting into a conversation on Gaza. Okay, it's better that you deflect from it. And why? Gaza is highly personal to many people. There is a deep connection with Gaza. There is a personal, spiritual reasons, religious beliefs are connected. You will never know when you're sitting with a client how much he is invested emotionally in what's happening there. You will never be able to handle that in a conversation because you're not an expert on Gaza or Israel. So when you, if you try and keep the conversation going and put your two bits into it, you're going to get into trouble. The client can be so emotionally charged in that moment, your sale has gone out of the window. There's no way that conversation
will happen. Doctor, if you haven't been born in Gaza and lived at least 20 years in Gaza, no one is classified to even speak about it because we don't know what's been happening. We see what the news are showing us, which is, I'm sure it's 90% less than the actual truth.
Yeah, and in any case, look, the governments of the world, the people who have access to better information, more experience, more than you and me, the people who understand these things cannot give us an answer. So why would you want to speculate on something like that? Because if you speculate, you will get attacked. Yeah? Clients are also only speculating right now. Mm-hmm. With Russia and Ukraine, what happened? There's still no solution to it. The world powers haven't been able to deal with it. You and I are definitely not sitting up there.
And the countries around Russia and Ukraine, I'm sure the real estate market is still moving like there's nothing. So what is the case here?
Yeah. So what I first suggest to people is try and not engage. It's easy to be drawn into these conversations. You will lose control very quickly. So you need to deflect. What do you do in such a case? You don't talk perception because it can get questioned. You talk fact. So I usually say something like this. Gaza is a very sad situation and we all hope it will be resolved very quickly. Yeah. However, I can't comment on what's happening there. I don't have the access or the intelligence to that kind of information. What I can share with you is even if you look at just the last 4 months, while Gaza has been happening for 6 months, even if you look at just the last 4 months in Dubai, let's see how investors have reacted to that occurrence and their investments. We've had 57,000 investors who have invested 185 billion dirhams in just the last 4 months in Dubai. All the time the war was going on, it was expanding, but it did not stop the investors from grabbing these opportunities. It is in this year, every 18 hours, we've had a launch and they're selling out. And if you look at the cash to mortgage ratios, it is 83% cash in the first 4 months. So the investors are still coming in. While you will get a few people who will raise their concerns, what can you show them? Show them the facts. Take them to the Dubai Rest app and show them 57,000 transactions. And, 52,700 transactions. I need to be corrected on that. 52,700 transactions, 185 billion in 4 months while the war is going on. So, Mr. Investor, while I am not an authority to comment on Gaza and where this is going, what I can tell you with confidence is let's look at what investors, people like you, have been doing in the last 4 months here. Quote the numbers that you can show them. That's your strongest reference point at this point.
Yeah, in this situation, either that all of these guys are actual investors or they know something that you don't know.
Possibly.
I don't find any other answer to this. Let's talk about the golden visa. Sir, put down 10%. I'll apply for you for a golden visa. Don't worry, 6 months later, we will flip it and you will keep your visa. So many misconceptions about the golden visa. And can we please lay it out once and for all?
Yes, not going to happen that you are going to get the golden visa and then you sell. Not going to happen. And I think a lot of that blame has to be taken by us, the broker community, or rather the real estate sales community. The moment something came out, the very next day, social media was flooded. People didn't even wait to get the actual info. They were out there. And that's what was happening. And in fact, I do know an agency where a client has actually filed a case because of...
And they got fined?
No. A client has filed a case because of misrepresentation of information. They were told that they can... You can apply, get the visa, 1 year later you can sell your property.
No one will know.
Cannot happen. Why? How does the system operate? The moment a golden visa is issued against the title deed of that property, it is registered through the ICP app. So from the ICP app, an immigration is linked and a golden visa is linked to that property. Now, if you find a buyer and you take him to the transfer office, when they are looking, bring up the unit, it will show that this is locked against the visa, therefore cannot be transferred. So what do you do then? There are two ways only here. One, either you cancel the visa and the right for applying for that visa now will transfer along with the property to the next buyer, which is only logical. He has bought it. He requires a visa to live in the country. You have sold it. You don't need that visa anymore. That's logical. It will go there. So how can you retain the visa if you want to? What you need to do is you need to show that you've got additional property worth $2 million. If you have that, you take the original documents to the land department, not RERA, to the land department, and you show the original documents that I do have property here worth $2 million. The land department issues a valuation certificate. They don't work with just any agency. They will, because an agency might put a 1.8 million at 2 million. So land department will do the evaluation and they will give you a valuation certificate. You take that certificate and you go with the original document and the documents of the unit you want to sell. You go to the transfer office. The transfer office looks at the valuation certificate. When they pull up the unit that you want to sell, they will de-link the visa from this unit, but they will link it immediately to the other property because that one now will get locked against the visa. So in that case, you don't need to cancel the visa. You can now sell this because it's de-linked. You still retain the visa, but for that, you have to have property worth $2 million with the valuation certificate from the land department. And now that property is locked into this.
And what I've heard also, I want to add on this, that you have 2 weeks to go to another property. So I own a property, I'm selling it to you. Even I did the paper, then I will show another MOU of another property, which is blocked in the land department. No one tries to do this to fake it out. They will hold my visa for 2 weeks till I do the transfer and it will be moved. It's not gonna be cut in the same day, but make sure you are always in the bracket of the 2 weeks, because once your visa is blocked, means your bank account is blocked, your phone number is blocked, your TV connection is blocked. Basically, everything will be blocked except using the taxis.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Flying ones soon.
Doctor, regarding the Q2, we just stepped in it and it is strong. The holy month of Ramadan was also very strong. Crazy launches happened. And now we're seeing the launches of the new master communities.
Correct.
Tell us about the master communities. What kind of an elevation it usually does to an area?
Okay, the first thing is when a master community comes up in a particular area, we know from legacy that the area has got bigger plans in and around it. So the reason why the communities are launched early is to give an early mover advantage to serious investors, because when you come in early, you will get the best price, you'll get the longest or softest payment plans, you'll make the highest returns, and you have the freedom of exiting. You have more flexibility with that. So nobody waits for the area to become popular and then to launch, because then the prices jump immediately. It does not make it a competitive investment opportunity. So the fact that a major community is coming in that area is a clear indicator to you that something big is coming out in that area. So real estate is always about the future. Look at Arabian ranches. When they were out in 2004, people said it's in the desert. The only people go to Global Village at that point. Look at the area today. When Mall of the Emirates, I remember, was announced, way before that, Dubai was contained in Sheikh Zayed Road, right up to the second interchange, Safa Park. There was no Dubai after that. There was the Jebel Ali and there was the beach. And why are we building a mall in the desert? Look at the area today. Everything about Dubai is futuristic. And since Dubai's plans are grand, they need time to come to fruition, right? To the fulfillment. So things are developed stage by stage. So one of the things you want to do is when you give the real estate opportunity, people must understand the long-term vision of that area and then they come in. So that's what happens to the areas around that place. Secondly, you talked about the second quarter. The second quarter, typically, if you go back, the end of the second quarter and the early part of the third quarter used to be slow because it's the summer months. Key decision makers are out and people definitely don't want to fly into Dubai. But in the last 3 years, we've had record-breaking summers.
Correct.
Because the city is moving ahead. If you go historically, the city was much slower. We never had agendas. We never had the futuristic outlook. Therefore, there was a shortfall of people coming in. It did not mean that the demand was less. It simply meant there were lesser decision makers for those 2 to 3 months. Once they came back, the demand was back. So it's not that the property demand was going down, just the decision making was being pushed 2 to 3 months in the future. We didn't see that in the last 3 years. And now the city is moving ahead aggressively. We don't stop for summer, Ramadan, or any particular month. And when you have 250,000 people coming throughout the year, it will continue. And particularly in the last, I would say, 3 years post-COVID, a lot of transactions shifted to online. A lot of the EOIs came online. Payments were being done online.
Everything, even the POAs are being done online.
So as a result, today, I did not need a people to avoid 50 degrees weather and wait for 3 to 4 months. They can do it from where they're sitting. The confidence in the online transactions has jumped through the roof, particularly in the light of last 3 years. So we are going to have another very strong second quarter. Looking for those who are waiting, want to wait, they can wait.
They'll pay for the price to soften.
They'll pay an additional 4-5% after 3 months.
Doctor, from the plan of the 2040, having Dubai as divided into 5 districts, approximately, how much has been built from this?
I wouldn't have the exact number.
It can you say 25-30%?
Again, if I said it, I can say it.
I don't want any,
it's my perception.
Any commitment from you. But I, the reason why I'm asking you is just to tell people that we haven't even seen
the
top of that. It's way going way deeper than that. It's going to be having so much stuff coming in the city. We haven't really started.
Yeah, I would say shift their focus first to 2033. 2033 is our next big milestone. We have 7 years after that for 2040. Mm. Look at what's happening in line with 2033 to start with. Now look at the Dubai South area. You know, Emaar has now announced 2 mega communities in that area. 96 billion is going to be put into that. You've got Oasis just a little further up. Now Damac is announcing another massive mega community. These, if you look at the history, they've all launched communities where people thought there's nothing, but then everything started to come up in those areas. And all of these communities are now villa and townhouse communities because we have a massive shortage. In all the launches that have happened this year, 93% of the launches were apartments, 6.5% were townhouses, and 0.5% were villas. Now, to take care of that shortage, you're now seeing a lot of villa townhouse announcements coming out and those mega communities. And many of them are moving towards the Dubai South area. And again, there is a reason for that. If you look at it, I think barely about not even 15% of these big plans has come into place. Most of these communities will take anything between 15 to 20 years to fully evolve. Look at any of the communities we have. Dubai Marina still has a few last plots, but generally it took about 17 years to complete. So all big communities will take that kind of look at Dubai Land, where we have all these 17 different communities there. It has taken us almost 18 years and there's still so much happening in that area. So it takes time because the projects are mega and you want to scale it bit by bit. Now, when you look at Dubai South, it's the future of Dubai. It is being classified as a city by itself. And a lot of people do not understand. Palm Jebel Ali, we've had almost no launches on that yet. We've just had those few villas. There's 82 hotels that still have to be launched in there. The other fronts are there. There's Jebel Ali Hills with these big, massive plots coming up. Now, Emaar is coming up with 2 mega communities. Damac is coming up. The Expo City is close by. The Maktoum Airport is scaling up. So there's so much happening in that area. You're going to have the smart cities which are coming up there. The Chinese market is up and running, the Yiwu markets. And this Dubai South concept also is not understood by people. Ask this to anyone you meet. Why is it called Dubai South? Is it because it's in the south of Dubai? No. In that case, this should be Dubai North. So what is the reason it was called Dubai South? It's a great question to ask. People do not, they'll tell you master developers that yes, but why Dubai South? Historically, in some of the popular cities, the luxury and exclusive lifestyles have been connected with that word South. And in that part, look at South Miami. You will know what I'm talking about. Okay, the richest people in that part of the US live in South Miami. You got South Mumbai, where you have all the actors, the billionaires are all in the premium hotels in that area. South London, you got all the art galleries, fine dining, the upscale malls, the high-end lifestyle. So the South concept is actually not directional. It is associated with the lifestyle of the rich and the famous. That's why your Palm Jebel Ali is coming in that area. So Dubai South is not meant to be seen as just something in the desert. In
or
the
when
future,
things go south means that they don't go right.
It is going to become the next big luxury lifestyle component for Dubai. So barely 10 to 15% right now.
Let me tell you, I ask you this question, and I want to address this to all of the viewers. Back in the days in 2002-03, when they have announced JBR, units over there were selling like one bedroom for 150,000, 180, two beds were going for 300, and the four beds were between 450 to 500,000 dirhams. They were handed over in 2018, and they did the 700-800% capital gain. Today, we are in the same position that JBR is, and Dubai hasn't even started. So, trust me, if you are not getting yourself a unit now, it will be way more expensive in the coming 3, 4, 5 years. Now, I'm not saying this to tell you, come buy from me or buy from anyone else. You can do whatever you want. Just make sure to become a landlord, at least obtain a piece of a small studio, just something in the city, because later on, a day will come that if you don't have £1 million to enter like central London, it's going to be the same case in here. Thank you guys for watching this episode and see you in the next one.
Anthony Joseph, Prime Stay, Holiday Homes. Most awarded agent in Dubai, his name is Anthony. Portfolios, he's scaling really high, that's why they can't compete. The first